Hey everyone, thanks. I just want to give a big shout out to Tim for this opportunity, for reaching out. I just really love just sharing and having discussion. That's like one of my passions. And so I'm just blessed to just be able to share with people all across, I guess, North America, it is. Yeah, and so, yeah, I'm currently in British Columbia, Canada, just outside Vancouver. I'm a pastor and a Bible teacher at this academy called Fraser Valley Adventist Academy, K-12 school. About 250 kids who I all love individually, all such special kids. I never knew how much I would like be so blessed by children, working with them. It helps me see how I was such a pest to kids, to my teachers when I was a kid too. And so it's a blessing to just kind of work with them and see them and see them grow. That's like the biggest thing. Like, I think like I just have such a huge passion for seeing them make an intentional choice for God, especially at such a young age. And so that's just what I do. Just to give you guys a little intro. I'm wondering, so I'm going to make this, it's very discussion based, and we'll read a little bit of the text. Is there three people, three volunteers, I'm going to call on Bob for being the first one, and then two more people that just want to share their high and low, a high and a low from this past week. It doesn't have to be like the highest moment or the lowest moment, but something that like is a blessing and something that you might want as a prayer request for us to do. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, for me, I guess a low is just unproductivity. It's definitely hard, like with procrastinating and everything. That's definitely a low. So prayers to not procrastinate as much. But a high is just spending time with my brother. You know, we're forced to stay home, so it's nice to just chat it up with him and just chill and watch TV. So,
yeah. Oh, okay. Let's get Reggie and then Matthew. Go ahead.
All right, for me, the high point is that I've been able to complete a lot of my art projects. I'm an artist. I do a lot of drawing, and it's been one of my like talents that I've kind of left behind for a number of years. Really, I have stacks of books, some unfinished drawings, and whatever. But I've been drawing and completing several projects, and it makes me feel pretty happy. Low point is seeing that we've lost over 31,000 people to this virus, and I'm looking forward to being over.
Yeah. And Matthew, go ahead.
Hey, thank you. So I would say a high point for me has been my walk, my daily devotion time, and my quiet time with God has really improved, and I've been more intentional with it. And through that, I've been more intentional in just hearing the voice of God and getting into my word again, because that was discipline that I lost. And I guess a low point would be just seeing the kind of a low point, but turn into an opportunity to be a blessing to others. Just seeing the anxiety on people's face at work, because I'm an essential employee. I go into work at Sam's Club. So just seeing the public daily, seeing their anxieties, but I even turn that into a high point, because I can, you know, put a smile on their face and cheer them up. So that's kind of how my week has been. So
awesome. And I think it's always good whenever you guys meet. I know we're at distance now, but if you ever call somebody that you know you care about, call someone that you know needs a call, always good to ask them just a high and low, just so we can praise God together and also pray together to God, you know? So that's something I love to do. So just before we start, I'm just going to pray quick, and then we'll get in the word. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity for us to connect. We'd like to thank you for this thing called the internet that we're able to use, that even though there's chaos in the world, even though we can't meet physically, though, that we can still meet online. So be with us tonight. Pray that we're able to learn a little bit more about what you're calling for us in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd just like to ask everyone, if you have your Bibles, if you guys can go to your Bibles, get your texts out, your phone out, whatever you need. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to read a few verses here. A classic story but it's really hit me differently now that I'm older, now that I'm kind of taking it in a little bit differently. Genesis chapter 18, we're going to read verses 1 to 15. My friend Samuel, you here? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, Sam, could you read? So we're going to it's 15 verses. So, Sam, can you read 1 to 5? Is someone willing to read 6 to 10? 6 to 10.
I got you.
Sorry. Okay, Bobby, read 6 to 10, and then 11 to 15, just to wrap it up. Is anyone down to read that? Okay, go ahead, Rich. Okay, perfect. So, Sam, start us off, and we'll just go through the text.
All right. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say."
So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get about half a bushel of fine flour, mix it, and bake some bread." Then he said to the herd, he picked out a choice, tender calf. He gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some butter and milk and the calf that had been prepared. He served them to the three men. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "Over there, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "You can be sure that I will return to you about this time next year. Your wife, Sarah, will soon have a son." Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent behind him.
Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am I old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, but she was afraid, and said, he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh."
My favorite line from this, verse 14, very straightforward. We've heard it in many different forms in our lives, from church or from people, but God here, in this humanoid form, comes to Abraham, and he says a very interesting line, verse 14. It says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's such a hard question. You ever heard that, that classic riddle that goes, is there, a rock that God can make that he can't lift himself, something like that? You know, is there possible for this? There's something that God can't do. And I think, we ask ourselves that, I think it's easy. If someone asks you, you believe that there's something that God can't do, we would naturally, hopefully, we would not want to say, yeah, I think there's things that God won't do or can't do for me. In our hearts, sometimes we respond like that. And in our hearts and our minds, we kind of struggle and we kind of perceive God as a God that there's certain things that are too hard for him. And sometimes it leads us to being like Sarah. I have to look at my life. How many times have I been like Sarah, where there was something that I needed God to do for me, but the thought of him possibly doing it made me laugh? Because it's not possible. It's if my brother, my older brother, when I was a kid, he came up to me and he was just hey, I'm going to buy you an iPhone. Right? This was when it was iPhone 2 or something like that. So it was way back. He's I'm going to get you an iPhone. And I was just I started laughing because it's there's no way. Right? Why would he do that? How can he do something like that? My brother is in university. Why is he going to buy his younger brother who annoys him all the time? Why? It doesn't make sense. The circumstance doesn't make sense. Right? But I'm starting to realize I think when I understand who Jesus is and who God is, God works in situations that don't make sense to us. And I think we need to believe in a God who can work in a situation and do something for us in a situation that doesn't physically make sense. Like, I thought, I'm just going to keep bringing it back to my brother here. My older brother, how can he buy me an iPhone when he's working at KFC, barely making money, right? And he's in university, paying for all these other things. Yeah, and yet he's still saying that he's going to do this for me. So to me, physically, the things don't make sense, right? There's things in our lives where we physically think that it's impossible for God to do something for us. But the line here says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So my first question is, and this is a discussion, so I hope to get some feedback. Why is it that sometimes we think that there's things that God can't do? Go ahead, Sunny.
Hi. Yeah, I think that one of the huge things for me personally is I don't know. Sometimes I brought this point up before. Today, it takes incredible discernment to know if the voice that's telling you this is going to happen is coming from God or coming from the devil. So if my female neighbor came to me and said, I'm pregnant and I'm a virgin, I'd be like, I'm sorry, you're crazy. But then you could absolutely call me a hypocrite and be like, what about the virgin birth in the New Testament? You believed in one, why can't you believe in another? So I think that part of the fact that, I think that one of the huge like hurdles there analytically is just getting to that place of discernment. Like, I don't know if I'm making sense, you know?
No, yeah. How can I know that God is going to do that thing? Like, it's hard to know that if it's coming from him, just my personal thoughts, something I don't even need that I'm asking right. for. Yeah. There's a lot of aspects of that.
If your female neighbor came to you and said, I'm pregnant, and all, by the way, I'm a virgin, you'd be like, she's either clinically insane or the devil told her that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's true.
Kind of a different, no. It's like a slightly, sorry. It's just... The slightly different.
No, you're study, right.
But this is just like such a fascinating topic. But sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. No, I like that. Yeah, it requires discernment. What do you guys think? Anyone else? Why do we sometimes struggle with that? Go ahead, Matthew.
I think sometimes, well, I'll just speak for myself. There have been moments where I have felt that God would do it for everybody but me, kind of a thing. Like, he'll bless. Like, there's that, and there I've encountered that with other people. They'll be like, well, you know, that's great that he'll bless some with, I don't know, a new job or something, but I don't, for some reason, I don't know if he'll do it for me. And that's been a struggle that I've had in the past of like, well, that's great, I know God will do it, but will he do it for me though? That's that insecurity and that lie that the devil wants you to believe that, oh, he's not going to do it for you. And so that's been something that has been a hindrance in my past, was just like, but will he do it for me? And so that has been something that I have had to overcome. But that's I think once you can overcome that, then you really, in the scripture where that has helped me with that is that he's no respecter of person. And so that was just, that was my thought.
I think that's a valid point. Because I'm going to get to that a little bit, but like, yeah, sometimes I think the reason why we think God won't do something is not that we don't think he's powerful enough, but sometimes it's because of who we think we are.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's kind of a factor. Like, man, like, you go to church and you see these guys and they're like preaching all these sermons of these miracles. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Like, I don't think that's not true, but can it will happen for me? Is there anyone else? One more person to share. What do you guys think?
I think I could say something on that.
Okay.
So as you mentioned, we tend to look at the circumstances. And, you know, and actually, naturally, we tend to see what's visible. We tend to look at what's visible, what we see, and that's why we become hopeless. We think that, oh, nothing's going to happen. Because when I look at the situation, biologically, for example, for Sarah, biologically, this is impossible. And she's very old. And she hasn't seen that before. So... from her experience, she hasn't seen something like that. And the same way, we can ask God to do something for us, but because we didn't see that happen already, it becomes hard to believe that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's why it requires faith to look at what we cannot see. And also it requires faith to believe that something that has not happened already can happen.
Yeah, I agree. It does require faith. Faith is, that's like the key aspect. Now I want to dial it back. I want to turn back a little bit. We don't have to physically turn, but when I read this story and I thought about that point pretty directly, because I was like, man, like it'd be hard. It'd be crazy if somebody came to me and was telling me that they're pregnant, but they're a virgin. It'd be crazy to me if I was in Sarah's shoes and I was Sarah, you know, and God's like, you're going to have a baby and you're 90 years old. Like, how? Right? That's not physically possible. This is beyond the rules, right? But like, you know, and it's like, sometimes, yeah, I get it to have faith, but like, how does this even make sense? But then when you go back a little bit, right after Genesis chapter 11 or 11, 12, where you see this, these stories of Abraham and Sarah getting saved by miracles, right? This is what kind of stood out to me. Somehow in this moment where God makes a promise to her, she forgets what God has done for her in the past. And I think like that hits me, because sometimes where I know that God can do something, where God's kind of helped me understand that he'll help me out through a situation, and it's hard for me to believe. But I think what makes it harder for me to believe is two things. The first thing is I forget what he's done in the past. You see, like Sarah and Abraham were in Egypt and they were saved out of Egypt, right? I don't know if you guys know the story. They were saved out of Egypt and like a plague came and like the Pharaoh had to let them go. Even though they were lying, God still saved them. And that was a miracle. Right, so they saw God's power, yet in the time where God's meeting them in their home to tell them, hey, like, you're going to have a baby? Like, no way. Right? And it's like, man, how much do I forget that God has a miracle? Yeah, God has a miracle for me, and I just kind of forget what he's done for me in the past to help me get through this time. Right? And then my second point is, and this is what I've kind of been kind of digesting myself, because I don't know about anyone else in here. I'm a second born, and so I have an older brother. And I always feel bad now that I'm older. I'm always like ripping my older brother a little bit, like about my childhood and like how I'm like, man, like he made it so hard for me because I always felt like I was in a shadow. But he was actually such a great brother. Like honestly, I love my older brother. But like I was always like always kind of put it on myself as like I was in a shadow, and I realized at one point, kind of like what Sarah's doing, and maybe I'm wrong in my understanding, but this is what I really perceive. Sarah knows the power of God. Like, I think I do believe that in her chronicle, in her story here, she's seen what's happened with, getting saved. She's with her husband. And so she knows that her husband's listening to this God that's in the sky, that's telling him to do these things, to move, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, saves him out of Egypt. So she knows that this person that Abraham is worshiping is powerful or doing something in their life, right? But I wonder if she never internalized it to be a personal thing rather than something that's through her husband. And I was just thinking about that because I realized sometimes, like my church experience, especially when I was younger, was that like God's power was just internalized. I mean, was just perceived through my pastor, not personal for me. So kind of like what Matthew was saying, like I would hear like pastors tell these testimonies or people go up and tell these testimonies and I would acknowledge that there's power there or like there's a supernatural God who's doing something, but I don't know if that can happen for me, right? And even though I hear stories, I don't doubt them, but it's like, will that actually happen for me? And I realized that was one of my biggest issues. And I think when I see the story of Sarah, I'm like, man, I would laugh too if God wasn't someone direct to me, but someone who I'm on the, like a sideline story watching. If God was a distant, powerful God, but like, it's like he's a celebrity that I can't really be personal with, but I know that he does great things. And I think like, how much have I done that before where I look at God and like, I'm just like a fan of God rather than like a friend of God, where I know that he can do great things, but like, I don't think he can do it for me. So it's hard for me when someone says like God will like heal you, do this thing. I like laugh because there's no way. But I know he can heal, but I don't know if he can heal me, right? And I think we get in this habit where we end up becoming like a fan of God rather than a friend of God. And there's a book about that actually called Fan or Friend. And it's just like really interesting. And this is what really hit me about it. And my second question, just as my second and last question as we wrap up here, is why do we get caught in that habit of making God or not seeing God personally, but like getting comfortable in that state of like, he's close to us, but we're like on the sideline. Like he's not like a direct relationship. It's like a sideline relationship. Go ahead, Sonny.
Oh, sorry. I actually don't have an answer to your question, but the way that you're talking, I think that another way I've heard it described is you believe in God, but you don't have faith in God. I don't actually have an answer to your
question. Okay. No, that's right. Thank you for that. That's a better way for it to say it. Yeah, we get caught in believing in God, but not having faith in him. Yeah. Why do we do that? Why do you think we do that? They don't have an opinion.
My bad. Could we repeat the question? I just got.
Yeah. Why do we get caught, or why do you think people get caught in the habit of believing in God but not having personal faith in him? Thanks, Sonny, for that clarification. It's actually way better way to say it.
It's easier to go in and like read Bible stories and like look at the way God has worked in your life without having any actual quote unquote skin in the game. Like, I'm not sure if I'm making sense, but it's easier for you to like read about God in like a book and be like, oh, hey, he moved in the past. But when it comes to you actually like giving, like having a problem and like believing that he can work in the same way that he did in the past, it's harder for us to do that because we want to have so much control over what's going on. And we want to know exactly how things are going to pan out, because in Bible stories, all we have to do is just skim to a couple of verses lower, or like skip a few chapters, and then we get the solution to the problem. Whereas with us right now, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And that's one of the things that terrifies a lot of us and causes us to doubt God, because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And we don't know if things are going to turn out the way we want them to, or if they're even going to end up working out at all. And so it's harder for us to go in and actually have that faith. We don't know the outcome. And we want to know the outcome before having any sort of interaction with God, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does. Elias, did you want to say something? Oh, you're muted. Oh, you're muted. You're muted.
Oh, whoa. Sorry. Sorry. What happens? I was thinking that. Well, I don't know if I'm right, but it seems we tend, it's like with our habits, we believe in God intellectually, but not with our heart, or with our, it's like we just know God as a fact, but we don't know him as a person. We don't really have a personal relationship with him, but we just know him. We just know the facts about God. We just know some knowledge about God, but we don't really, let's say, if I use we don't really have an emotional relationship with God. I don't know if I'm wrong, but that was coming up in my mind.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think that's a very key point. Thank you, guys. Samuel.
Yeah, I think it's more so, it's like, you know, you believe that God did everything that he did in the Bible, right? You believe, or even like you hear a testimony in church, right? Like how God came through for this one person when they were in time of need, right? They were in desperate need and God came through for that one person. But then when you find yourself in that point of need, that desperate point of need, it's like, I think someone said it earlier, you want to be in control of your situation, and you don't really, because of what your situation you're going through, because of what problem you're going through, you don't think anyone can come through for you because you can't come through for yourself. So it's kind of hard for you to, it's like we forget, right? We kind of forget about God and how he's come through for others in the past, or how even he's come through for us in the past. That kind of just goes away because we like to have that control. I kind of like what the person before me said. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you guys all hit a very direct point. And it's hard because the key thing is sometimes it is that we're lacking the relationship directly. And I realized, like, just in closing, sorry, I'm just looking at time, and I'll close up. Sorry, because I could talk forever, but I'll close up. A big thing is, like, God is a personal God. And God is the God that's in the Bible. God is the God of Abraham, of Jacob, of Ruth, of Esther, of all these people. But God is a God who wants to meet us one-on-one in our homes. I think it's interesting that in this narrative, in this story in chapter 18, God has been talking to Abraham from a distance. You know what I mean? Like, apparently from what it is, like the way the story shows is that, you know, God's always talking to Abraham and he's like in the sky. That's kind of how you picture it, right? Like he's in the sky telling Abraham, oh, you're going to have a generations of kids that are like the stars, like in the sky. Oh, Abraham, get out of this place, in the sky. But then this time it says three men came to the house, right? And like we believe that in this story, this is God approaching his home and eating with him, right? Like, and it's like such a low-key story because we can go on a tangent of what that is. Is that is that the Jesus before he was Jesus? Like, it's crazy. But this in this story, God comes and eats with him and comes to try to tell him who he is and like come to help them and talk to them as someone face-to-face. But it's almost like sometimes God tries to approach us like that, but we're still trying to see him as this in the sky God, right? That's like distant. And it's like God's trying to meet us both ways. He is a powerful God, but he's also an intimate God. He's both. And I think when we are intentional about our relationship with God, when we don't just make it something that's a sideline, that it's not just something that we believe in, but something we have faith in, it becomes very, very different for us. And then if we follow through with that, it becomes easier for us to take what God's promises seriously rather than to laugh. Hope that makes sense to everyone. What the beautiful thing is, even though she didn't believe, I think it's funny because Sarah was kind of confused on who she was talking to because she tried to lie to God, thinking that he wouldn't catch her lacking, and yet he was still like, no, like, I know you laughed. And she's like, I didn't. He's like, you did. And it's like really funny how he still does that. But even in our disbelief, God still blessed her. Like, God could have just been like, well, if you don't believe, then fine. But he still blessed her with it. And then they had their lineage through them too, right? Even when she tried to make her own plan, her and Abraham tried to make their own plan earlier, God still used them. And so even in our imperfection and our lack of belief and our lack of faith sometimes, God still works in our lives. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of who God is. And so my prayer for all of us is that we just take time during this time of chaos, of COVID, of fear, even after, and we continue in our lives that we just try to seek God out personally so that when the time comes, we won't be found laughing when he tries to make big promises to us in our situations. Yeah, I'll just pray again. And then I don't know, I guess we just, Tim, you just wrap it up, I guess. Yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time that we've had just to discuss and share. Thank you for being a God who's personal and intentional. I pray that we take the time to hear your voice. We take time in stillness to just hear what you're asking us to do. And I pray that we seek to know you as a friend, as a father, and someone who wants to know us, not just someone who wants to know the people or the leaders around us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.